April is here, and if your windows won't open for fresh air or seal tight to keep out pollen and bugs, then talk to Window Nation. Right now, for every two windows you buy, you'll get two free. There's no limit to how much you can save. Plus, save even more with no interest or payments for 24 months. With proven quality, you'll get affordable windows that meet or beat the national brands. Don't miss out. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule your free in-home estimate.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Birds Radio presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. James Seltzer and Elliot Shore Parks with you from Vegas, baby. What up, Elliot?
What's going on, man? What's going on? I wish I was in the studio with you, but I got to say, being down in Vegas, I've been here since Thursday, actually, which is, you know, both a blessing and a curse, I would say. Lots of Eagles fans down here. Lots of Eagles fans walking around the place I'm staying, being out on the strip here. Lots and lots of Eagles fans. So I know I feel like I say this every week, and it does seem like Eagles fans are traveling more this year, maybe because they couldn't last year. But I think we're going to see more Eagles fans at this game tomorrow than we have at any road game in recent history.
Well, I mean, it makes sense. It's not surprising. It's the Eagles' first ever game in Las Vegas. It is. We know how well Eagles fans travel. I'm sure the fans of Philly trip is rocking. And of course, like, why wouldn't you go to Vegas to watch the Eagles play if you can go to Vegas to watch the Eagles play? So set the scene for us before we dive in, just because, like, I know I've been to Vegas a few times and a little bit of a different thing, but I've been there for a Fish show, and I know that when Fish is there, it's such a unique thing to see Las Vegas taken over by a bunch of, like, hippies, essentially. Is it like that with Eagles fans? Is it like you walk into the casino and there's Eagles fans all over? Is that kind of the feel?
Yeah, let's just say it seems like Eagles fans are very much enjoying their time at the casino. I have a feeling there's lots of money being spent. Hopefully lots of money being won, right? That's what I would hope for these fans that have made the trip. But yeah, I mean, look, this is my first time out here in Vegas. I've been texting with you throughout the few days I've been here, giving you kind of my feedback on what I think of it. And it's like an adult playground. Like, I don't know how else to describe it. Like, it's just Eagles fans everywhere. Like, lots of fun is being had. Obviously, I'm here on a business trip. I'm doing work. So, you know, I have not been partaking in the fun as much. But, you know, maybe once Go Birds Radio ends, if any Eagles fans have anything they're doing tonight, or I will say this, any advice for, like, what games I should go play? I'm a terrible card player. I played the slots a little bit, but that's just basically pressing a button. So if anyone has any advice, I'm open to some suggestions.
I love this. 215-592-9494. All right, let's get into it, because on top of obviously the fun that is a Vegas trip, there's also a massively important football game for this team tomorrow, an Eagles team that, you know, look, we'll kind of get into it, but, you know, whether or not they're a playoff team or not, you know, I think we have differing views on that, but if they're, you know, we've said this before, the Carolina game, but I think it holds true here. If the Eagles are going to make the playoffs, they need to win this type of football game here. Where are you at right now with the Eagles, six games in, heading into a pivotal game in Vegas against a solid, if not better, Raiders team?
Yeah, so as we mentioned, I am here in Vegas, which means I had, you know, about a 5.5-hour flight on the way out here to think about this team. Lots of Eagles fans here, so I've been talking to a lot of them about the team. And I think where I've landed heading into this game tomorrow, and you're absolutely right, it is a must-win game. Like, playoffs, no playoffs, whatever, this is a game they absolutely have to win. And, you know, we'll get into our predictions in a little bit. But where I think I'm at with the team is I think my advice to Eagles fans would be you're overreacting, right? I don't think this team is as bad as it seems some people seem to think they are. I think that Nick Sirianni isn't as bad of a coach as he has shown. Jalen Hurts, I think, is better than he's shown. I think what we're really looking at is an Eagles team that at 2-4 is just – they've played a really tough schedule. They've played the third toughest schedule so far in the NFL. You look at some of these teams they've played. The Cowboys are arguably the best team in the NFL, right? You can parse it, maybe the Bills, whatever. The Cowboys are in the discussion. The Buccaneers are defending Super Bowl champions. Like, they lost to the Buccaneers, and people were upset, and I get why. You don't want to watch the Eagles lose. But they were never supposed to beat the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers are not are in a different stratosphere than the Eagles are right now. The Chiefs, I don't care what the record says. We all know the Chiefs are one of the best teams in the NFL and one of the hardest teams to play. So that schedule that, you know, hand up. We say this a lot on the radio show. Hand up when we're wrong. The schedule that I thought was going to be easier has turned out to be an extremely tough one. And now I think going forward, you're going to see what this team really is. But even with the tough schedule, Pro Football Focus has him ranked as the 16th best team in the NFL, so right in the middle. Their offense is 12th. The defense is 22nd. Not great, but they played some great quarterbacks. Where they've been really good along the lines. I think Jalen Hurts has shown a lot of potential at moments. Definitely some concerning signs, but I think now that we just got through this mini bye week, we haven't watched him play in a little bit, I think you can take a step back and say, relax, the team's not in as bad a shape as people seem to think they are. They've played a tough schedule, and we're about to really find out where they stand with these upcoming games.
Look, I love the positivity. I'm all for hope, but I think you're overselling this team. It's just not a good football team. It's not a good head coach so far. It's been a bad quarterback so far, and I am not out on Jalen Hurts. I'm not fully out on Nick Sirianni, though I'm certainly on my way out on Nick Sirianni, but like this team, it's not necessarily about the wins and losses right now. It's about the way they've looked in these wins and losses. It's about the mistakes. It's about the vanilla offense, the lack of creativity, the lack of, again, I keep going back to this, but it is the single thing with Nick Sirianni that upsets me the most is this whole rallying cry heading into the season. I'm going to put players in position to be successful. I'm going to coach to my players. What does that player do? Guess what? I'm going to put him in position to do that thing that he's good at. And then we see Jalen Hurts throw more than any other quarterback in the league. We see him dropping back and being a pocket passer and them doing absolutely nothing to help this kid and not put players in positions to be successful. We've seen nothing creative, nothing different. And Ray Dinger was obviously just on before us, was talking earlier in the week on the Midday Show about how this coaching staff never sets things up. Like, you know, every coaching staff in the league will run plays early in the game to see how a defense reacts to it and then use that against them later in the game. This staff does none of that stuff. Like, it just feels like we're watching a coaching staff and a roster that whenever, yes, it's been, they've played some good teams, but whenever they play a quality NFL team of any kind, looks like they should be on the same field with that team. And even if they've gotten garbage time points to come back and stuff, like, yeah, they lost to Tampa Bay by six. It felt like a 30-point loss. They were just outclassed on that field. I think you are way – I understand your point that it has been a somewhat tough schedule so far. I know the numbers say that, and it gets easier, but I don't know how you could watch this team. And look, Hurts, too, who I like, and I'm not totally out on or anything. He's only 23 years old. It's only, what, 10, 11 starts. But, man, he misses a lot of throws he has to make. He is – not used in the whole field as a quarterback. He doesn't look like he's going through his progressions effectively. Like, I just don't know how you can look at this team, this roster, where they're at right now, and how they've been coached, and feel anything but negative about them moving forward.
So, yeah, look, I'm not on the complete opposite side of you on this one, right? Like I said, this is something I've been thinking a lot about. I'm not firm on the side of, look, everyone's overreacting. I do see more positive signs than it seems like you do. But to your point, that's what's one of the most discouraging things about the team, or frustrating things, is the reasons they're not good have been a lot of self-inflicted stuff. Like, to your point, you talk about the lack of a running game. That is one of the most indefensible things I've ever covered during my time with the Eagles. Like, the Sirianni's lack of just running the ball is, again, one of the most indefensible things, but also one of the craziest things. Like, he gets up there and he says, well, you know, the RPO game and, you know, the screens and all that. No, just call plays where you hand the ball to Miles Sanders. It's not that complicated. So, yes, I agree with you on that. The penalties, that's a sign of, you know, a reckless team, not a well-coached team, and they're new. And, you know, Sirianni's early on, so I can see why. But the penalties are not like a lack of talent, right? So when I look at the first games, and the reason I think there is some reason for encouragement is, I mean, you mentioned the Buccaneers, right? Yeah, they're not supposed to be on the same field as them. But you look at the three teams that I would say are kind of in the same type of place where the Eagles are. The Falcons, the Panthers, and the 49ers, right? 49ers, a class above probably, but at least in that discussion. They beat the Falcons, they beat the Panthers, and they should have beat the 49ers. So I think that, again, there's going to be learning curves. You talked about this a lot coming into the season, how there's going to be games Sirianni costs him, how there's going to be games where Jalen Hurts doesn't play well. And we've seen that, right? Sirianni probably cost him a game against the 49ers with this poor play calling in the red zone. Jalen Hurts definitely cost him that game against the Cowboys where he just had one of his worst games, actually his worst game in an Eagles uniform. So there's been growing pains. But to come out of these first six games with those growing pains, with those self-inflicted wounds, and to be at 2-4 with this schedule coming up, I don't think people should be, you know, feeling, oh, Sirianni's definitely not the guy. I heard Joe DeCamera say this, who obviously I respect a lot, say he's the worst coach he's ever seen. Like, that's an overstatement
coach.
To me.
Worst Eagles coach.
Worst Eagles coach. Yeah, correct. Worst Eagles coach. Like, that's an overstatement to me, right? And so I just think that you look moving forward, and again, the Raiders game is huge, but they have the Lions, they have the Broncos, they have the Giants, the Jets, Washington. Like, there are wins here to be had. And I think that that's where, and we've seen it already, when they play teams that aren't like top five in the NFL, they're right with them or they beat them. And coming forward, they're going to have a lot of teams that aren't top five in the NFL and are actually in the bottom half of the NFL. And that's when I think you're going to get a better look at what this team is.
Yeah, they just need to look better in doing it, though. Like, the Panthers win, yes, it was a win, but did anyone come out of that game feeling like it was a win? No, that literally the next day on the station, I it's the only time in my history of working at WIP that after a win, there was like 95% negative calls the next day. Like, it was just, no one was happy because Sam Darnold handed them the game. They didn't like win it. They fought, but they were horrible the vast majority of the game. And I think that's the problem with this team, is it's hard to get excited. It's hard to believe in this team when they look so bad on a week-to-week basis. 215-592-9494. Coming to the phones in one sec. Quickly, let's spin it to tomorrow because it is a huge game. And I go into it and I feel like a lot of Eagles fans and a lot of people are falling into the same trap where we look at a team and say, oh, the Raiders aren't that good. The Eagles can play with them. The Eagles will be fine. The Raiders are good. The Raiders are a good football team. They're 4-2. They beat the Ravens. They've got some good wins. They beat Pittsburgh. They went into Denver last night and just handled the Broncos after their coach got fired, like, or resigned. Like, I don't know. I think the Raiders are pretty good, and I don't feel optimistic about the Eagles' chances tomorrow, Elliot.
Well, remember this for when they beat the Raiders tomorrow, right? When we're doing our post-game show, post-game pod, remember that you said the Raiders are a good team. I'm not as with you on that. I think the Raiders are a fine team. I think they're, you know, in the class of the 49ers and the Panthers type of team. I think Derek Carr is good, not great. And I look at the two things that the Raiders do well on offense, or at least what you would be worried about. Henry Ruggs, he goes deep a lot. He's tough to stop from beating deep. If there's anything this Eagles offense does well, it's stop teams from making big plays down the field. They've allowed, I believe, 11 catches over 20 yards, second fewest in the NFL behind only the Bills. And then Darren Waller, if not the best tight end in the league, certainly in the discussion. You look at how they've done against these elite tight ends they've played this season, right? Kelsey didn't do much against him. Kyle Pitts, I know it was his first game, he didn't do much against him. So they've played good tight ends and done a good job covering them. So I look at the matchups with this, and this is where it ultimately comes down to, too. The Eagles this year are going to beat teams that have bad offensive lines. The Raiders have a bad offensive line. So I think the Eagles actually have some matchup advantages going into this.
215-592-9494. I think we are underrating Derek Carr and how good he is. I think we're underrating what this Raiders team has going on right now. Again, I don't think they're great. I think they're good. And I don't think the Eagles are good. That's my problem, is I look at this game and I look at the Eagles and I just don't think they're a good football team. I think they're more bad than good, and mediocre is almost like not you know, not saying how bad they are. Like, I just have so little faith in Nick Sirianni to go into this game with a coherent game plan, a strong game plan, and do the right thing. Like, this is the spot, right? Like, run the freaking ball. The ball. The Raiders are 26 in yards per carry in the league. Like, they're horrible. I think they're allowing like close to 5 yards a carry or something. Like, you can run the ball against the Raiders. Like, do it, dude. Do it. We're going to find out. Tomorrow's a big one for Nick Sirianni. 215.
Well, and to that point really quick, to that point, like, if he's ever going to run the ball, this is the time to do it. I can kind of look over the, okay, first six games as an NFL coach, like it's a whirlwind, all those things, still inexcusable, but at least that could be one reason where you could look at it. Coming off this mini bye, going against this team, if he does not run the ball 15, 18 times, not RPOs, like run the ball 15, 18 times, it's inexcusable.
215-592-9494. We normally started out in Abington with our buddy Tom, but he has a wedding today, so we're going to start with another Tom, our buddy in Vancouver. Tommy, how are you, pal?
Hello, hello. How are you, gentlemen? I'm well.
Doing good, man. I got to say, if it couldn't be Tom from Abington, I'm excited it's you.
Oh, well, that's very nice of you. I like being the substitute, Tom. And I have to say that he is a fantastic caller. Like, he's always got a great rhythm to his comments and all the rest of it. He takes little digs at Elliot, which is always fun, and Elliot's got a thick skin, so it doesn't bother him.
Amen.
So it's all good. All right. So I have a question, and I'll try and do this, I guess, a little bit in as an ode to Tom in terms of the spirit of Tom. Must win for what reason, Elliot?
Because if they're going to make the playoffs, they're going to need probably 8 or 9 wins, right? I would think. I mean, it's the first year with 3 wild cards, so we're not exactly sure. But I believe the second year with three wild cards. Sorry, second year.
But we had an 8-8 team last year. It's the first year with 17 games, so we don't really know whether it's 8-8, 8-9, or 8-9, 9-8. You know, what kind of record is going to be needed?
Right, exactly. Okay. And so when you look at the upcoming schedule, I just think this is one of the winnable games on the schedule because the Chargers are going to be tough, right? That's probably going to be a tough game. The Saints you can debate, but I think this is a game that you have to win flat out. Like, you have to win these next two games, get to 4-4, and you put yourself in a good position.
If you're going for the playoffs, then yes, I agree. So I think it's a little bit much to say it's a must win in general for the Eagles. But if it's specifically for the playoffs, then that's fine. I think if someone... because I know you guys also do a betting podcast, if someone bet the over on 6.5 wins for the season, then I do not think that this is a must win.
True.
So
that's fair.
Okay.
Yeah.
If the Eagles run a lot, you know, it's interesting what you say about the stats. You guys are saying about the stats, because I think it depends where you go for them. I know Warren Sharp, according to the way he looks at stats, the Raiders are top 10 run defense. And if that's if his way of looking at it is correct, then they're going to be stacking the box just like every other team has done. And I think that that could be an issue. I agree, though, that the Raiders can't run, and this and the strength is a big-time passing. And their strength is big-time passing plays, and Jonathan's too high safety will work against that. But sorry, Elliot, I cut you off.
No, I was just going to say, you bring up Warren Sharp. I mean, I would guess that the Eagles front office's view of how they view teams is very much in line with Warren Sharp. So, you know, if you're someone like my good friend James that thinks that the front office is very influential in the play calling, like, that's something to keep in mind.
It's a great point, Elliot. Yes, analytics, my friend. I think that's
that is
the word,
a really good
the
point.
Buzzword we're looking for is analytics there.
Okay, so I've got a couple of questions for you. What do you guys think about John's comment that Sirianni doesn't understand RPOs and Hurts isn't good at West Coast offense? So it's a little bit like oil and vinegar.
I thought that was a really fascinating point, especially when he brought up the comment from Shane Steichen talking about how he has not had much experience, you know, working with RPOs. He did a little with Justin Herbert last year, he said, but he's like, prior to that, I've been with Phil Rivers. I haven't done it much. I think it's concerning. I think it's a really interesting point. I don't know. You know, it's an inference. Obviously, we're not in that room. We don't know. But, you know, it certainly seems like there is the potential that Sirianni's play calling styles and Jalen Hurts' best abilities don't necessarily mesh.
Okay. So, two other questions. In hindsight, would you take Justin Fields over Devonta Smith?
Wow. It's a great question. I would not.
I might.
But
I'm
there's gonna, an argument for it.
Yeah, I'm 50-50. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Okay. And then last question, and I'll let you get on with the show. It's a question from last week, and Elliot, you'll get to weigh in on this now. Who do you think is a better coach team right now after last week's game, because we hadn't had the benefit of that, the Raiders or the Eagles?
Tommy, a pleasure, my friend. Great call. The Raiders, we only have one example, but they were coached well last week. Rich Bisaccia.
Yeah, so I saw an interesting stat this week that
this is a super – listen up, because Elliot said this on the pod, and this is actually a really interesting stat, especially if you're looking for hope for tomorrow.
Yeah, so since 2020, interim head coaches, including last week, so including the Raiders win, are 4-0. They're 0-3 in their next game. And I think that makes a lot of sense because you think about one game, you know, everyone rallies together. You know, I mean, think even didn't Pat Shurmur win his only game as interim head coach, right? So I think that, yes, they were impressive last week. I think we're very much going to see them fall back down to earth. And the last thing I'd say about that is Nick Sirianni. If there is ever a week to win the coaching matchup, it better be over an interim head coach, right? Like, if there's ever a week to win it, this is it.
Please.
Yes. Please. Yes. He has to win it.
215-592-9494. Where do you stand on this game tomorrow? Are you positive? You know, do you feel good about the Eagles' chances like Elliott does? Are you more with me where I just think the Raiders are a better team? And where are you at after six games? Do you think Elliott's right telling people to kind of Aaron Rodgers it a little bit? Relax. We're overreacting a little too much to six games. Or are you more with me where it's not necessarily who they're playing, it's not the games they've played, it's what we've seen with our eyes and the way they've looked that makes you so concerned with this coaching staff and with this roster? 215-592-9494. It's Elliott, it's James, it's Go Birds Radio, and let me tell you that the Park Sportsbook is the official sportsbook partner of the Real Philly Fan. College and pro football, baseball, playoffs, hockey, MMA, soccer, basketball, and so much more. Bet with the best. The Park Sportsbook app, live in-game betting, lets you bet while you watch. It is a wild ride, and really, you can get real great odds. If you're watching a game and a team jumps out to a big lead, you can get really good odds on a team you thought was going to win the game to begin with, and it really is something you can take advantage of and make some money. It's the only sportsbook app backed by the number one casino in the whole state of Pennsylvania. Bet the money line as it changes during the game on the Park Sportsbook app. Bet on individual player performances as they happen in basketball. Bet player points, rebounds, assists in baseball, hits, home runs, pitcher strikeouts, inning by inning in football. You can bet passing and rushing yards, touchdown scores, and so much more, plus same-game parlays, props, teasers, and over-unders. And more than anything, just having some action on these games makes them so much more fun to watch. We all love football. We all love baseball. We all love watching these games. When you got a little action on it, you're just that much more invested in it. And here's the deal for you. New customers, if you sign up right now, you get your first bet risk-free up to $500. Do it now. Your first bet risk-free up to $500. Just download the app or click parkscasino.com/PA and use our promo code GOBIRDS. That's GOBIRDS to get your risk-free bet. Your risk-free bet is refunded in site credit. The website has all the details. It is Go Birds Radio, presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Elliott Shore, Parks, James Seltzer with you. Elliott from Vegas. How about that? There it is.
Elliott. For my first time, too.
First time
out here
this
in Vegas.
This is wild, man. Your first time in Vegas. All right, quickly, what's your number one takeaway from your first time in Vegas?
So my number one takeaway, so when I first got here, I texted you and said this is basically just Atlantic City.
And I
right?
was like, I don't think so, buddy.
Yeah. So then I spent more than like 2 hours in Vegas. And yeah, I mean, it's literally like what you see in the movies. Like walking around is crazy. Just the people watching is amazing. The casinos, I mean, the hotel that I'm staying in, Fans of Philly, obviously set it up. It's a beautiful hotel. But it's just so wild to go down the elevator and what it's normally a hotel lobby is a casino with people gambling 24/7.
Yeah, it's a wild place, man. It is wild. And 4 days there is a lot of days, Elliott. A lot of days.
Yeah, and the thing about me, and you might know this, we've never played cards together, but I would guess you would know this about me. I'm not good at cards because I wear my emotion very much on my sleeve.
Same as me,
and I'm
buddy.
A terrible liar.
Same
so like
as
whenever
me,
I get a good hand, I'm very excited and it's clear on my face. So I've never been good at gambling.
Yeah, maybe stay away from the card tables out there. It's probably
smart.
All right. 215-592-9494. Coming up in a minute, No, we're talking Eagles here, but Elliott has a quick Sixers take I want to get to. And, of course, if you want to talk Sixers, we'll always take those calls, as it is, like, the biggest story in the city right now. But Eagles, Raiders, big, big game tomorrow. And Elliott's saying don't overreact to the first six games. He thinks we're going to see a good outing from the Eagles tomorrow and the potential to kind of turn this season around with the schedule coming up. Where do you stand on that? 215-592-9494. Let's go to Deptford and talk to my buddy, Andy. Haven't spoken to you in a while, bud. How you doing?
Gentlemen, what's going on?
What's up, Andy?
What's going on, man?
I love those stats Elliott throws out with the interim coach 4-0 in the first game and 0-3 in the second game. But, Elliott, aren't you the same guy that predicted 11 wins from the Eagles and Hurts with 35-plus touchdowns?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
So Well, hold on. Here's what I would say. My actual prediction was 10 wins.
When you make a
hold on,
Annie, let him talk.
Hold on. So I made a bet with Howard Eskin that it would be 11 wins, right? I think we can all agree as someone that make bets, you know, sometimes you go overboard, but I predicted 10 wins. I'm not
backing
away from
that. Which I can verify. Elliot, on our podcast, predicted 10 wins.
But again, to my point, and I'll obviously let you go after this, like, I didn't think they would start like 6-0. You know, the schedule ended up being tougher than I thought, but there's a lot of wins to be had on the second half of the schedule. And that's my point today is, like, they've played really good teams. I don't think anyone coming into the season, even me, who is probably the most optimistic person on this station, thought that they would be able to compete with the Buccaneers, the Chiefs, and the Cowboys ended up being way better than definitely I thought. I can't speak for both of you, but they're definitely better than I thought, which is a big factor for the Eagles, obviously, because now we all thought 9 or 8 wins would win the division. Cowboys might win like 12 or 13 games, so that's a game changer. But again, to my message for the day, let's see what they are over these next few weeks. Like, let's see if they can beat the Raiders, the Lions, the Broncos. Like, there are wins to be had here.
Yeah, but here's the thing: you're telling fans to relax and don't hit the panic button, and this is a must-win game. But for what? We're not going anywhere this year. If we're gonna have a bad season, if we're gonna get a good draft pick, this is the year. What are we going to do? Get in the playoffs with 7-8 wins and go home in the first round? Like, what are you talking about, man? We're building for the future.
Well, but here's the good news.
It's not a must-win game. This isn't a must-win game because if we lose, we're projected to lose. And, I mean, come on, man. What are you talking about, must-win? For what?
Because you're saying you don't think they're going to make the playoffs, and you're saying you don't want them to make – or not that you don't want to, because I know you want the team to win. But you don't think it's in the best interest of them to make the playoffs this year. That's where I disagree.
All right, let me ask you this. If they make the playoffs, are they going to make any noise in the playoffs? You foresee them winning the championship this year if they make the playoffs. That's what it's about.
But it's not always just about that, right? It's like when the Phillies, the year before they won the World Series, they made the playoffs, and that helped them catapult the next year, right? Like in 2016, the Eagles didn't make the playoffs.
You can't compare baseball to football.
I'm talking about the growth of a team. The growth of a team, like, it helps Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts if they make the playoffs this year. I think we can all
agree
with
you.
Why? How could it not help them?
I think it'll help the team if they get a better draft pick than making the playoffs and picking at 15 rather than not making the playoffs and picking in the top 5. That's a huge difference.
Obviously, a higher draft pick is always a good thing. But they own the Dolphins pick, which looks like that could be a top 5 pick, right? So the draft capital that they have, I think, negates a little bit the need to you have their own pick be very high. But also, as much as a high draft pick is great, and yes, you want to pick higher, that's not the only part of building, right? Like Jason Kelce said last year, football is not really a sport where you tank. And I think he's right about that. Like, I think building a winning culture around Sirianni, getting players to believe in him, having Jalen Hurts be the quarterback, if they can make the playoffs with Jalen Hurts, you then look at these draft picks and you say you can use them on all defense pretty much. And then that helps the defensive side of the ball. If they, you know, to your point, lose tomorrow and like what's the point of winning and all that, then you're talking about maybe using all those picks on a quarterback. So I still think it's beneficial for them to make the playoffs.
Thanks for the call, Andy. And look, we've argued about this before, but I definitely, while I am not someone who needs them to make the playoffs, and I definitely think the higher draft pick I can get, I want it. But I definitely don't think that it – I think you can't say there's no benefit to making the playoffs, that there's no – like you talked about, that there can't be other type of benefits that come out of that from the experience, from the belief and all that. You could also, though, argue that with this team, you know, maybe it presents a sense of false hope. I mean, you can really go both ways on it. I don't know – I really don't know where I come down on this. But I felt pretty strongly I wanted the higher pick, and I think I still do. But I get your point. 215-592-9494 coming up in just a sec. A Sixers take from Elliot. First, let's go to Central PA and talk to Chiro. Yo, Chiro.
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
What up, man? How you doing?
Hey, Elliot, a piece of advice, man. Stay away from Fremont Street.
That's old Vegas, baby.
Yeah,
well, bad news. I already didn't take that advice. I was on Fremont Street last week. I mean, last night.
Yeah, there you go.
I got pickpocketed down there, got my ID, couldn't barely get on a plane to come back home.
Sorry to hear that,
That's terrifying.
That's all good. On the Eagles, though, man, I'm and Seltzer will tell you this, I'm usually one of the most optimistic fans there are, but week in, week out, I'm going to sit there, I'm going to watch every second of the game, but if Sirianni comes out here and I see the same high school Harry scheme and Gannon does the same high school Harry scheme of Harry, I've officially lost all hope on the season. So, yes, tomorrow is a must win. Yes. And for Eagle fans that say, no, we don't need to get to the playoffs, that's stupid. That's stupid. Everybody wants one more game. I don't care if we lose or not. You always want to go to playoffs. But we have to come out here and they have to show us that they reflect and they've actually learned in these 10 days.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I do too.
100%. Yeah, I mean, the fact that this was his chance to self-evaluate, this was his chance after six games, which was a bit of a whirlwind for a rookie coaching staff, to take a step back and say, what can we do better? And if their evaluation after doing that is not to run the ball more, then I think that's a major red flag about the staff.
Especially with the fact that they don't have a bye week until week 14. They have the last possible bye week you can have this year. The season's basically over when they have their bye week. This is their chance to self-scout.
Yes.
That's a great point.
Exactly. And, you know, it gets easier right here. We have the Lions. You get 4-4. You get two good convincing wins. And I get it, the Lions ain't no bell cows and whatnot. But you get to 500. Then this team might start showing some. But it starts with the coach. It starts at the top and all the way down to the bottom.
Chiro, great call. And I'm with you. I Elliot knows, you all know, like, that's what I'm most concerned about right now is this coaching staff, this coach. And what is he moving forward? All right, Elliot. We'll continue with the Eagles talking to SAC 215-592-9494. Get on the board. Eagles Raiders tomorrow. But quickly, obviously, you know, we are only on once a week with this show. And this week, it is very, 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 very rare. As someone who works in this industry, I can tell you it is very rare for a week during football season, especially early in the football season when, you know, like maybe last year when they're completely out of it, you know, you could argue it's a different thing. But when the Eagles are hot, so to speak, for another topic to completely dominate a week of sports radio, and that's what the Sixers have done this week for obvious reasons. You said you had a Sixers take you had to get off your chest. Elliot, the floor is yours.
Yeah, so another benefit of there being so many Philadelphia sports fans down here right now is the Sixers game was a big deal last night, right? A lot of people were watching it. I'll just say that on the flight out
times,
here.
Oh, fun times, huh? Fun times!
Yeah. I'll say that on the way out here, on the flight, there were some Go Eagles chants, or Go Birds, as you could imagine, but there were also quite a few Ben Simmons chants, which I cannot say on the air as to what they were. But here's what I would say about this. And the Ben Simmons discussion, he did not improve over the last few years. That's on him. Jason Kelce, I thought, said it perfectly, where if you improve, this isn't as much of an issue. Play better, and there's no issue, right? So Ben needs to improve, and that's absolutely on him. But I couldn't help watching this game last night against the Nets and saying to myself, when is Joel Embiid going to start getting the criticism that I think he deserves and that I think there's not been as much of it? Like, look, okay, Joel Embiid got outscored by LaMarcus Aldridge last night. Like, what are we doing here? Joel Embiid, who's you know, top three MVP voting last year, max player deal, all that stuff, got outscored by LaMarcus Aldridge last night. Like, this is a problem for the Sixers. And look, Ben's play against the Hawks was absolutely a large part of the reason they lost, right? He was bad from the free throw line. They couldn't play him in big spots. That's all true. Joel Embiid also had like 33 turnovers in that series. You go back and you look at Game 7 against the Raptors the year before, or I guess it would have been 2 years before. He wasn't that great in Game 7, right? So, look, Joel is a fantastic player. He's probably the best athlete in the city right now. Like, the only person even competing with him probably is Bryce Harper, right? And Bryce is obviously great too. But I think that, you know, if we're going to expect Joel to be like the number one player on the Sixers, to be their lead guy, like, then he's got to start stepping up in these big moments. And to be outscored by LaMarcus Aldridge in a primetime game at home opener, I just thought it was incredibly disappointing that yet again, he seemed to be non-existent in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I can't go that far. I will agree. Look, incredibly disappointing performance at home for your home opener, especially with the last home game you played being that, you know, Game 7 against Atlanta, you know, for that to like, not quite history repeat itself, but in terms of, you know, having a sizable lead in the fourth quarter and frittering it away in the last few minutes, you know, it definitely felt similar enough that it was a very unenjoyable experience last night. But look, it's game two. You know, he obviously has got the knee thing going on. Which is a concern in and of itself. I'm not going to freak out like you do, but I agree. Look, they're in a spot where the only way this team, as it's currently constructed with the whole Ben Simmons situation as it is, the only way they have any sort of real chances here is if Joel Embiid's the best player in basketball or one of the two or three best players in basketball. And if he plays a lot of games and if he, you know, has a special, special season, then you can compete. But if he doesn't, they're just not going to be good enough. So I don't agree with it's the second game of the season. I'm not ready to get on him, and I don't blame him for the playoffs the same way you do. But I do agree with the idea that if this team is going to go anywhere, Joel has to be better. I don't think there's any question about that.
And look, I don't agree with a lot of what Ben is doing right now, the way he's handling it, right? Getting thrown out of practice, everything, right? Like, I am with the majority of the public on how Ben Simmons is handling this. But what I will say is, one thing I'll defend Ben about is he caught a lot in the vast majority of the blame for that loss to the Hawks, and he deserves a lot of it. Like, he was not good. But if you're Ben, I could see why it's frustrating to catch so much of the heat when Joel.
No, it's true.
It's absolutely true.
No, not doing that. Screw that. 215-592-9494. You had me for a moment there, and then you completely lost me. If you want to chime in on that Sixers thought as well, of course, we'll take those calls. 215-592-9494. And, of course, Eagles, Raiders, it's Elliot, it's James, it's Go Birds Radio. We're coming right back. It's Go Birds Radio, presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Elliot Short Parks, James Seltzer. With you till 3, talking Eagles, Raiders tomorrow. Big game where you stand with the Eagles through 6 games. And if you want to mix it in, a little Sixers as well. Let's go right back to the phones, 215-592-9494, and go to Tennessee and talk to our buddy Justin. What up, feller?
What's happening, fellas? How y'all doing this fine Saturday evening?
I mean, Elliot's in Vegas, so I think he's doing just fine.
Tired, maybe would be a good way to put it.
Yeah. A little tired. I hear you. Well, I'm a little tired, too. I got up, mowed yard, and all that good stuff, and now it's college football Saturday time. But anyway, let's get down to the birds. I was listening last night to Gilio's show, actually, and he and Tucker were talking about them bringing Lane back. And I missed the first 20 minutes of the show, so you may have touched on this already. I'm not sure.
We have not.
What do you think? Because, I mean, Dillard has played relatively well, you know, when Lane's absence. And Tucker and Joe are kind of leaning more toward, you know, at the end of the season, you've got to look, because with Dillard being a first-round pick and, you know, Mailata just got signed to this contract, what are the odds that they look into maybe trading Lane at the end of the season? You know, because I think if it's a June designation, June 1st or whatever it is, it's a $7, $8 million cap saving and stuff like that. But, I mean, I would hate to see it because I love Lane to death. He's one of my favorite Eagles. He's just a monster. He's been here, what, 9, 10 years now? But like they said, you've got a first-rounder invested in Dillard. He's played pretty doggone well, you know, for the most part, when Lane was out and they had to put him in. And Mailata played pretty daggone good at right tackle. So let me get your thoughts on that. I'll get off and hang up because I know y'all got a full bunch of calls. But anyway, boys, go Birds. Love y'all, man.
You're the best, Justin. What do you think, Elliot?
Yeah, always good to hear from Justin. I think what he said, how I would kind of start that by saying is, like, Lane is an all-time Eagle. Lane is one of the faces of the Super Bowl team. Like, yep. He is the underdog guy, right? So I think that, and we haven't had a chance to talk about this on air since he came back. Like, obviously the first part of this is it's good to see Lane back, just, you know, in the complex with his teammates. That's all positive. From a football perspective, I think there's a strong argument to be made that this team, in some ways, is better off with Dillard at left tackle and Mailata at right tackle for the long run. I don't think Lane's career is close to over by any means, but he is going to be entering, I think, his 10th year next year. He does have ankle problems. He's had trouble staying on the field. And Dillard's been okay at left tackle. He's not been great. He certainly has had moments where he struggled. But between him and Mailata, you would potentially have two young tackles of which to build around. And Mailata is still on a rookie deal. I'm sorry, Dillard is still on a rookie deal, right? So I don't know if it's also as important to have your best tackle at left like it used to be. Now, that is hurt blind side, which matters. But this league has great pass rushers on both sides now. It's what's made Lane so valuable over these years. The fact that even though he's on the right side, he's lining up against some of the best pass rushers that the Eagles face. So, you know, I guess in some ways it's a good problem to have, but there's no question that Dillard playing solid at left tackle, and Mailata showing he can play right, is definitely a wild card in, like, this team's future of the offensive line, because if you do move on from Lane and you get something valuable for him, all of a sudden you look at that line and you go, Mailata at right tackle, Dickerson at right guard, center you could figure out either Kelsey for another year or potentially you move, say, Amalu over. Then you have, I should have said Driscoll at right guard, Dickerson at left guard, and then Dillard at left tackle. Like, that's a young line all of a sudden where all the starters are 27 and younger, and you feel pretty good about all of them. So it's an interesting question for sure.
Yeah, it is interesting. I don't, you know, as we've talked on the pod, I don't love the idea of moving Mailata from the left side. He's just been so good there. And as someone who hasn't played a ton of football, it's really asking a lot of him to flop back and forth and all that stuff, and clearly didn't look as good on the right side as he had on the left. But you never know what time he might be. He just might be a natural and be good to get at either side and has played the right side at times. But for me, I'm a little nervous about moving him. But I do think it presents an interesting situation where, you know, we talk a lot about this team not having a ton of young talent at certain spots. Offensive line, it seems like they're in a decent spot with. Let's go to Glenside and talk to Matt. Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, what's going on, Matt?
Hey, as always, my faith in Jalen Hurts is unshaken. I'm not too sure about Nick Sirianni, as everybody's kind of gone over. But I really have a question for you guys about draft picks.
Sure.
So statistically speaking, you're better off with more picks. And I believe, like, James or Elliott's made the point that Howie's better off picking in later rounds than he is in the first round. So you could theoretically trade away two of your first round picks for a second and third. So you could ultimately double your picks from the mid.
I get what
round.
You're saying. I don't think that just because Howie has gotten luckier later in drafts than earlier in drafts means that you want later round picks and then you're going to rely on that as a strategy. I just because Howie's making the picks, I don't think that doesn't mean you still don't want to hire pick as much as possible. That's the thing with this team that I brought up multiple times is that the biggest issue I have with this roster is there are some solid players, some good players. This team lacks high-end blue-chip young players, guys who you say that guy's going to be an all-pro. You know, that guy's going to spend 10 years in the Pro Bowl. Like, they don't have those guys, and you get those guys for the most part with top 10 picks and first-round picks for the most part. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, well, as you can say, real quick to Matt's point, I'm not a huge fan of the argument of, like, well, Howie can't draft, so why even make picks? And I know that's not the point you're making, but I think you just collect the best draft assets you can and then figure it out. But if you do end up with three first-round picks, let's say Carson plays enough snaps, like, I don't hate the idea of taking one of those picks and getting two extra picks in the second or whatever it is. Because to your point, James, yes, they do need elite young talent, and you do get that high in the draft. But you should be able to get it in the second round too. Like you know, the NFL draft is not the NBA draft where, you know, it has to come in the first round basically. So, you know, we're far off from draft season. Obviously, it depends how the board falls, all those kind of cliches. But I don't hate the idea of taking one of those picks and turning them into two picks.
I mean, it depends where they are too. But I mean, if you want to, I think it's more likely not they're going to trade it into for 2 second rounders. I think it's more likely they trade it for a second this year and a first next year and keep accumulating those firsts year after year after year. I think that's a more likely strategy if what you're trying to do, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I was looking at was, you know, everybody was kind of saying before the season even started that we're in a rebuilding year, and if we're going to really rebuild, we need more picks, we need more options, we need more talent.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, there's no guarantees with first-round picks, but that's neither here nor there. I just wanted to also say, Elliott, I support what you're saying. I still think the Eagles can be a double-digit team, but I'm an optimist, so take that with a grain of salt.
Matt, always.
Well, appreciate you having you on my side.
Yeah, you need someone on your side at this point.
Yeah, someone's got to be there. You're certainly not going to
be.
No,
well, it's, you know, look, week one, the Atlanta win, you had a week. You had people flocking to your side. I called a coward on this show, if we all remember. You could use more people on your side right now. So, and look, again, to your point, while I'm not where you are at, it is impossible to argue that it's not in front of them, right? I mean, the schedule is way easier moving forward comparatively. So, like, that part of your argument, while I don't agree this team is good enough to take advantage of it, or I trust Nick Sirianni to take advantage of it, or whatever, it is a fact that the schedule gets easier, and that in and of itself is something. 215-592-9494. Elliott Shore Parks live in Vegas, which is amazing. We will have more Vegas thoughts when we get back. Eagles, Raiders, where you stand on this game. Next segment, too, we'll get to Elliott's player to watch and how does he see this game playing out? Like, how do the Eagles win tomorrow? If the Eagles are going to come out, if we're going to get tomorrow night, and by the way, the line on the Park Sportsbook app is down to 2.5. I'm just saying, which is one of those things that makes you go, So something to think about. We'll get into if the Eagles, if we're going to be sitting at 8 o'clock, 7:30, whatever it is tomorrow night, talking about an Eagles victory, how did it happen? Elliott's going to tell us that next. It's Elliott, it's James, it's Go Birds Radio. And let me tell you that the Park Sportsbook app is the official sportsbook partner of the Real Philly Fan. College and pro football, baseball, playoffs, hockey, MMA, soccer, and basketball. Bet with the best. The Park Sportsbook app. Live in-game betting lets you bet while you watch. It's a wild ride. It's the only sportsbook app backed by the number one casino in the whole state of Pennsylvania. You can bet the money line as it changes during the game on the Park Sportsbook app. Bet on individual player performances as they happen in basketball. Bet player points, rebounds, assists in baseball, hits, home runs, pitcher strikeouts, inning by inning. And in football, bet passing, rushing yards, touchdown scores, and so much more. And the live in-game betting, they're just, that is the way you can really make some money. Like the wild swings of the lines. If you believe in a team and they go down early and you think they're going to fight back, you can get amazing odds on it. You have to have the app open during the game and be following this stuff because it is a way to make money. And as I always say, you're watching these games anyway. It's just more fun to have a little action on it. And here's the deal for your new customers. If you sign up right now, you get your first bet risk-free up to $500. $500. Do it now. Your first bet is risk-free up to $500. Just download the app or click parkscasino.com/PA and use our promo code GOBIRDS. That's GOBIRDS to get your risk-free bet. Your risk-free bet is refunded in site credit. The website has all the details. It's Go Birds Radio, presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Elliot Short Parks, James Seltzer with you. Elliot, in Vegas right now. You got any more Vegas stories for me? Hello? Elliot. Oh, no. Did we lose Elliot?
Sorry. Hey! I'm back.
Vegas got you doing just you run down to the tables for a second or what?
Exactly.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes.
No, I mean, lots of Vegas stories so far. I'm guessing over these next 2 days, there'll be a few more. There's a big Eagles like pep rally thing tonight. Fans of Philly's doing so that'll be a good time. But I have two thoughts for you, James. One you're going to hate, and one I'm interested to get your opinion on.
Love going into something knowing I'm gonna hate it. Nothing better.
Well, you're gonna hate it because it's another piece of evidence that you're wrong.
Oh,
but
good.
So, would you say the best version of a bar? Like, you know, there's various types of bars, sports bars, dive bars, mm-hmm. like if you want to include clubs and that type of thing, right?
Sure.
Would you agree that the best version of a bar is a dueling piano bar?
I would agree it's up there. Like, I'm a big sports bar guy. I think, you know, a really great sports bar for a game is tough to top. But yes, I will say dueling piano bar is high on the list. It is a fantastic time.
Yeah, so I was at a dueling piano bar last night. Fantastic time, as always. But I found this interesting. I counted not one, not two, but three Queen songs that were played. Do you want to guess how many Beatles songs were played, Mr. Seltzer?
Do you want to guess how much I care?
Exactly zero would be the answer to both of that. You don't care, and there were zero Beatles songs.
Oh,
another
God.
Point in my favor that Queen
just,
has more hits than the Beatles do.
Stop. Stop. You should be embarrassed to keep going down this There's road over and over
hundreds
again.
Hundreds of people in the bar. Everyone's requesting songs. I didn't see one
just
Beatles
take
song.
It with dignity. The Beatles are bigger than Queen. What are we doing?
I didn't say they weren't. I said Queen has more hits than the Beatles.
The Beatles have the most hits of anybody. What are we talking about? They had an album of number one hits. It was like 25 number one hits. Like, what are we doing here, Elliot?
I was at the bar. One, two, three Queen songs, no Beatles
yes,
songs. The proof
is
in the pudding. You
yes,
can use your analytics all you want.
The pudding is gone bad, I think, is the problem.
No. The proof was in the pudding last night. Everyone was loving when Queen was on, mm-hmm. and then there was just mm-hmm. no Beatles. So I'm mm-hmm. sorry, James, if that hurt you, but I had to let you know that.
Yeah, so it doesn't hurt me. I think it's foolish that you would even equate such things, that you think that's
honestly,
an example of your point being proven.
I would have called you last night, but the other weird thing about being out here is it's 3 hours earlier. Like, I haven't been in a different time zone for years. Like, right now, I started this show at 10 a.m. So last night when I was, you know, it was like it would have been 2:30 or whatever, when, you know, 2:30 or 3 in the morning when I would have called you. So I didn't call you to rub it in last night. I decided I would wait till Go Birds to let you know.
So speaking of pianos, I have, and back to the phones in 1 second, I have two life dreams. It was really one life dream. And I'm going to say this and people are going to laugh because it's, you say it's like a life goal, but it could very easily be done. I just have never actually taken the time to do it. But I've always said my whole life that one of my life goals is to learn the Peanuts theme on piano. You know, that whole thing. But now I have a second one. So I really need to learn these on the piano. I need someone to teach me the piano. I need to learn the Succession theme is now my number two. I need to learn the dun, dun, I need to. I must learn this, Elliot. So I'm just putting that out in the world, maybe, you know, speaking into existence, as they say. I'm assuming that I won't have to do anything, that it'll just naturally happen and I will learn them. But, you know.
Well, first of all, it's just so good to see you dream big. As your friend, it's good to see you have high life goals and aspire. It's motivational. Second, I can play the Peanut song on a saxophone.
What?
Yeah.
Whoa. Hold up. We've been doing this show together for years now. You play the saxophone? Why am I just finding out about this now?
Well, I played. I played when I was in middle school. Yeah. So I was in the jazz band and I played the saxophone.
What?
That's why I have such great rhythm.
Never known this about. Look at this. You learn something new every day. I love it. All right. How about that? You're going to have to play some sax for me at some point, Elliot.
If you learn it on the piano, I'll play it on the saxophone. And this can be like a Go Birds, you know, show. We can be a traveling Go Birds podcast / Peanuts music band.
This would be something. I'm pretty excited right now. 215-592-9494. Coming up in a minute, we're going to ask Elliot, if the Eagles win the game tomorrow, how does it happen? First, let's go to Phoenixville and talk to Ron. Hey, Ron.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Hey, what's going on, Ron?
I want to talk. I'm not an Eagles fan, just to let you know, but I'm a football fan.
Yep.
And when I watched the Eagles play Carolina, I looked at the first – I turned the game off. I'm going to just tell you that. I didn't think they had a chance.
Yeah, it was ugly.
Yeah.
It was not a fun game to watch for anybody that didn't have to watch it, yeah.
Yeah, but I looked at – I went on ESPN and I looked at the box score. 24-5. The Eagles threw 24 times and ran 5 in the first half.
Yep.
Carolina ran 18-17, passing and running.
Yeah, well, they need to run the ball, Ron. I'm with you, man. I don't think there's a single person. I don't remember the last time in Philadelphia we were all 100% aligned on something like this. Like, there is not a single person who says, oh, they don't need to run the ball. Even Elliot. Elliot, like, was Mr. Anti-run the ball guy. He's all in. He's like, run the ball. What are we doing?
Well, one of my biggest pet peeves in Philly sports would be every time the Eagles lose, no matter what, it'd be, oh, they should have ran the ball more. Now, like, I am with everybody. They absolutely have to run the ball more, like 100%. It's one of the reasons they're not that good, or have not been that good. If they run the ball more, they're a better team.
Elliott, in the second half, they ran the ball 17 times.
Yeah.
And he threw 13 times, and they won.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would be interested to see the breakdown of those.
Yeah, a fair amount of those were Hurts runs, so it's not exactly.
But you are right. I mean, what's interesting is the Eagles, I think, are they're like something like 12th in the league in rushing yards.
Yeah, because of Hurts. I mean, it's pretty wild.
Right.
Yeah, it is. It is surprising, but you know, it's just to your point before, and I think you know what it is we keep bringing all these all RPO, and you know, well, Jalen pulled it, or this or that, or Jalen didn't, you know, give it to the running back. Like you said this before in the open, and it is just. The point. Like, call some freaking running plays. Like,
yeah.
Right? Like, you don't have to make it an RPO every time. Like, just call a freaking running play. Like, wasn't that your whole thing coming from Frank Reich's system? And, you know, like, oh, we run the ball. We're going to run the ball. Okay. All right. 215-592-9494. In a second, we're going to ask Elliot how the Eagles win the game tomorrow. And I'm going to guess maybe running the ball has something to do with it. First, let's go to Morristown and talk to Ray. Hey, buddy.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
What's going on, man?
James and Elliot, two of my favorites. James, you know that? Elliot in Vegas. I love that title that you took. Elliot in Vegas.
I appreciate it, man. I wish you were out here with me.
Man, I'll tell you what. If we were, we would take a trip to the Grand Canyon, man. Now, that is something, if you ever get an opportunity to go out there, put that on your list. It is an amazing spectacle. You just can't go out to that part of the country without taking a little road trip to the Grand Canyon.
Yeah. It was on my list. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it, but I agree. Like, it's definitely something I wanted to do. So maybe, who knows, maybe later today. It's a long drive, though. It's like 3 hours, I think.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's a road trip. You can also take a helicopter. Yeah. I wouldn't do that.
I'd be terrified
to take rent a car and just take a drive out there. It's amazing. Amazing.
Yeah.
And it's definitely worth the drive.
Awesome.
Talking about these birds, it's just, you know what? And Elliot, I kind of agree with you. I don't know. There's certain aspects of this season you look at as far as, like, what are you going to get out of going to the playoffs? And I think that if for Nick Sirianni it's about coaching for his job. Now, obviously, if he can get the team to the playoffs, he's had a better result than most of us are looking at this point in time. And the same goes with Jalen. So in that regard, I think that if they make the playoffs, it's good for their longevity. However, as far as thinking towards the future, if we're looking towards the future, I don't see a whole lot of benefit in going to the playoffs. I think you're better off trying to get three or four first-round draft picks between, you know, the picks that they're going to get from these other teams and over in Indianapolis if Carson plays, which it looks like he is, and he's playing fairly well. So that's good for us. I mean, you know, so I just don't know how playing, you know, going – I don't think we're going to go deep in the playoffs is what I'm trying to say. I think we'll get knocked out.
Yeah. I mean, so look, it's
better,
an interesting point.
You might be
Go ahead. Yeah. No, I will say, I mean, look, they get the three picks no matter what, whether they make the playoffs or not. And, like, really the difference we're talking about here is, like, let's say they push for a playoff spot and they don't make it, or if they do make it and they're the third wild card. I mean, we're talking about a difference here of five, six spots, and I'm not completely diminishing that because I understand, especially early on, like, all those spots matter. But, you know, I just think the benefit of, like, dropping five or six spots, winning games, getting in the postseason, getting them that experience, like, I think that matters. And again, they will get the three picks. Like, the Colts pick, you know, the Colts pick has nothing to do whether the Eagles make the playoffs or not. So they will have the draft capital. And presumably two of these picks, I think, are going to be, if not in the top 15, like, all three could be two. So I'm just not as concerned about the draft capital and the spots because I think they have so much of it that it's almost irrelevant if they're picking, like, 12th or 16th if you get to the playoffs, you know?
Right. But I'm just saying, you know, are we thinking about – this year, or are we thinking long term, as far as you know, going for the next four or five years?
Great.
I mean, you know,
I'm with you, and great call. And that's kind of where I've been at with Elliot too. You know, kind of what's more important, the here and now or the long term? And that's why I came into the season saying I wasn't really concerned about how many games they won. I was concerned with finding out if Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts are the guys for the future. And so far, I'm not super optimistic, certainly not about Sirianni, and not as optimistic as I was before about either. So, Elliot, let's get to the game tomorrow. You know, you're out there. You're in Vegas for this game. A lot of Eagles fans out there. If they win, if we're sitting together on our podcast tomorrow night talking about an Eagles victory, if Ike Reese is coming on the air on Monday yelling, "Victory!" Why? How did it happen? What type of game are we watching tomorrow if the Eagles end up coming out victorious?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's some obvious ones that you can put to every game. I think this team, like most teams in the history of the NFL, is better when they win the turnover battle. But I think especially this team, because the offense needs more possessions because they do go out three and out so much. So you got to create turnovers. I think they can do that against this team. Derek Carr, I think, has four interceptions in six games. So he does turn the ball over. So that's one of them. The other one is I think you have to stop Darren Waller. I mean, you know, a caller referenced this earlier, and it's true. Like, the Eagles defense is set up to stop Henry Ruggs. And Henry Ruggs, I think, is averaging a little over 22 yards per reception. He is one of the best deep threats in the league, kind of like people thought he would become. And he's been that this year in the offense. So, you know, the Eagles are good at stopping the deep pass. So you can't get beat deep. If they're getting beat deep tomorrow, they almost have no chance, because that's just a sign that their defense is not working, because that's the one thing they should be able to do. But stopping Darren Waller underneath, I think, is critically important as well. And then tackling him when he gets the ball. Darius Slay has talked about this with Darren Waller. Obviously, he's big, but what he can do after the catch is devastating to defenses. He's fast. He's big. He's extremely hard to tackle. The Eagles have not been a good tackling team, I don't think. So, yeah, bringing him down. And then on the offensive side of the ball, for the Eagles, again, don't want to sound like a broken record, but the facts are the facts, and you know, you have to start with what the most obvious thing is. They need to run the ball. They need to run it. The Raiders are not good against the run. You've referenced some of the stats, something like 26 in the league in yards allowed per carry. So they have to be able to get the ground game going. And I really do think, like, it's a mentality thing. Like, come out of this bye week, run the ball, show you're changing. Give Jalen Hurts a bit of a break. You can't win this game if Jalen Hurts is 75% of the offense like he has been so far this season, or whatever the exact number is. You got to run the ball. You got to control the clock. And then on the defensive side of the ball, make sure Henry Ruggs isn't beating you deep. If they can do that and the pass rush does their thing up the middle against Derek Carr, the weak part of the Raiders' offensive line is that middle of the line. If they can do that, they should win this game.
Yeah, I'm so with you. And obviously, you know, it is a broken record, but for a reason. Like, the running the ball thing is a mentality. It's toughness. It's the way you know, your offense is rolling out there. We saw it in that Thursday night game. Like, Cleveland Browns came out with Case freaking Keenum missing both their starting tackles, missing receivers, missing both their starting running backs. And this guy no one ever heard of, D'Ernest Johnson, is running all over the field because it was a mentality. It was a toughness. It was the blocking. It was the scheme. Like, they just ran it down their throats. And Denver's a good run defense. Like, it's about committing to it and doing it. And it is such a difference maker.
Yeah, and Ruben Frank, who was on the show last week, made this point in the press box when we were watching the Tampa Bay game. Like, if the Buccaneers are going to commit to the run, who have Tom Brady at quarterback, right? If the Chiefs are going to come in here and run the ball, who have Patrick Mahomes, what's the excuse for the Eagles not to do it? Like, I like Jalen Hurts, but if the teams that have Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes are doing it,
help your young quarterback out.
Or your old quarterback, or your best quarterback of all time. Like,
exactly. All right, one more call in here let's get to, and then coming up in a minute, we will get to Elliot's player to watch for tomorrow's game. First, let's go to Florida and talk to our buddy Ja'Cory. Hey, Ja'Cory.
What's going on, guys?
What up, man?
Elliot, I'm tell you right now.
All right.
Don't go to the gentlemen club. Okay? We got the gentlemen club now.
I will not. I promise you, Ja'Cory.
Sage advice from Ja'Cory.
Yes.
You can hit a pool party. They have nice pool parties. It's not over, overrated or like overdone. They got nice pool parties. Also, just me, I'm not a card guy. I like to play dice. I like to play crap. Remember, when you play craps now, 7 or 11.
My issue is I don't know the rules to any of these games.
That's the problem.
Like, I walk around the casino, I see people playing these games, I just don't know the rules to any of them. So I'm like the biggest sucker in the world. I would sit down, not even know what's going on. Basically just handing my money is what I might as well be doing when I play these games.
Let's get on the quarter slots, man. Them things are good. But going back to the game, I think we'll be all right. We just run the ball. Defensive-wise, this Raiders offense is sneakily good. Remember, they still got the Jacobs.
Josh Jacobs, who looked good last weekend. Yep.
Yep. Darren Wallace is arguably behind Travis Kelce. He's the best tight end in the league.
Potentially.
Henry Ruggs. I've seen that Anthony Harris is questionable tomorrow with both hands injury, right, Elliot?
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy. So I don't know, man, because this is going to tell where our season is going to be going. If we lose this game, like I said, I think we're going to have a top 5 pick with the Dolphins pick and another top 10 pick, and we just need to be stacking up our draft picks. And lastly, Elliot, the trade deadline is coming up. I think we should be sellers. If we can offload some of these contracts, maybe, I don't know, Fletcher.
Ja'Cory, this is a really interesting point, and great call as always. Coming up next, I want to get to Elliot's thoughts on what the Eagles should do at the trade deadline November 2nd, I believe. So it is pretty quickly approaching the trade deadline, and obviously they've already made one trade with the Zach Ertz trade. We'll get Elliot's thoughts on that. But first, right now it is time for Elliot's player to watch tomorrow. And tomorrow's game brought to you by your local Tri-State Toyota dealers, proud partner of the Philadelphia Eagles. Toyota, let's go places. Let's go Eagles. Elliot, who is your player to watch for tomorrow's game?
Yeah, so I could go the easy route and go Miles Sanders, because clearly, as we talked about, they need to run the ball. But much like what it feels like my gambling strategy has been in Vegas, I'll go the hard way, right? And I think Dallas Goedert is a player to watch tomorrow. The player across from him.
Yes.
Yeah. The player across from him, or at least the opposing tight end, is Darren Waller. He wants to be one of those best tight ends. He wants to be a top 5 tight end. He wants to be a top 3 tight end. And the Eagles traded Zach Ertz away to give him the chance to do that. I think the offense has been at its best this year when they're targeting Dallas Goedert. He has 216 yards, 2 touchdowns. He's averaging almost 15 yards a catch. He's been really good after the catch. I think they need to get him involved early. Again, running the ball needs to be the priority. But through the passing game, get Goddard involved. Use him in the red zone. And I'm excited to see what Goddard can do, getting 70, 75, 80% of the snaps at tight end. This is a chance he's been waiting for, and it starts tomorrow. And I'm excited to see what he does with it.
Yeah, that's Elliot's player to watch, brought to you by local Tri-State Toyota dealers. Couldn't agree with you more, especially, right after the Ertz trade. It's like, it's your time, bro. Like, they even talked about it organizationally. Tyree Jackson's not back with the team yet. Like, this is a real spot for Dallas Goedert to go out and show what he has and make himself some money. So, great call there. 215-592-9494. It's Go Birds Radio as we talk Eagles, Raiders tomorrow and more. Again, coming up next, we'll get Elliot's thoughts on the upcoming trade deadline and continue to talk Eagles, Raiders. Get in now. 215-592-9494. It's Elliot. It's Go Birds Radio. We're coming right back. It's Go Birds Radio, presented by Barks Casino and Sportsbook. Elliot Short, Barks from Vegas. James Seltzer with you until 3 o'clock. Let's go back to the phones. Coming up in a minute, we will get Elliot's thoughts on our caller Jacory's question before the break about the upcoming trade deadline and an interesting thought about what kind of tack the Eagles should take coming up again November 2nd, I believe. So it is coming up soon. We'll get Elliot's thoughts on that in just a minute. First, let's go back to the phones and go to New Mexico and talk to our good buddy David. Hello, sir.
Gentlemen, how you guys doing?
Doing good, man. I just realized I'm out in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, you are. And the desert's still blank. But I'm glad you're enjoying yourself out there. But I won a karaoke challenge last night, won $200. And I'm not normally a betting person, but a guy challenged me. I guess he didn't like me or something like that, and challenged me to a Seal sing-off. He did Kiss from a Rose, and I did Don't Cry. Wow. And I won $200, so I was actually kind of happy about that.
Seal's
put me in a better mood
to
for this
sing,
game tomorrow.
Man, Seal's got some range, man. That's impressive.
Two things. One, red flag for this guy that he didn't like you. Like, that's a character flaw on his behalf. But second, I am a gambling man, and I would definitely bet on you to win a singing contest just, talking to you on the phone. So I don't know what this guy was thinking.
Well, thank you, man. I really appreciate that. Yep. Well, going on about the game, this season is salvageable. All right? And I want to be optimistic about it. But Sirianni cannot be this arrogant. He just cannot be this arrogant. I know he played wide receiver. I know he likes putting the ball in the air. But we played six games, and he has yet to turn to his running back and his offensive line as the strength of his team and actually use them. If I was defensive end and I see Jordan Mailata across the line of scrimmage from me, I don't want that guy leaning on me all game running the ball.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what they need to do. Why is Miles Sanders not touching the ball? Why in the world is Jordan Howard on the
on the practice squad?
Yeah, why is he on the practice squad? You know, I mean, so they're not using their strengths to their advantage, and it's arrogance. That's all it can be, because he's not stupid. I know he's not a stupid man. He wouldn't have got the job if he was stupid. But his arrogance and his refusal to actually do the obvious is killing this team.
David, great call.
Well, and I also think, I mean, Sirianni, to me, when you see the moments where he has to make judgment calls, like what to do on fourth down, like those type of things, he leans conservative. Like his personality to me leans conservative. Doug was much more aggressive with it. And I just think people that lean conservative on fourth down stuff to me seem like people that would run the ball. And also, if we're going to say he's Harry High School and he runs this, like, you know, not super intricate offense, like that also leads to running the ball. So I do believe that Sirianni at his core wants to run it more. I think what's happening is, A, he got hired by an organization that believes in throwing the ball. And I think that naturally, and this, you know, it's not a good thing, but there's probably a bit of it where he's trying to impress his boss, right? But also, I do think the RPO thing, because they're not used to it, he's figuring out how to coach it. I think if Sirianni was coaching, you know, a college team or another NFL team, I do believe he'd run it more. I just think in the situation he's in, there's a bunch of things going on, which is leading to this extreme discrepancy with the run.
It's just strange, though, and I get all the things you said, but you would think with a young quarterback who has legs, like you would think you would run the ball more, just inherently.
Yeah.
You would, and why you've got speedy wide receivers, you would think you'd see like more of the you know, reverses and this, and you know, like it just has really lacked creativity on the – and again, I go back to that game with Cleveland on Thursday night, and just the example of just the lanes that those guys were opening up with the scheme. You know, they were missing both their starting tackles, and just D'Ernest Johnson was just gallivanting down the field.
Yeah.
And it was frustrating to watch, man. It really was, because it's like, I mean, you have a good offensive line. You could do this stuff.
I mean, look, Nick Sirianni talks so much about Mount Union, right, like the high school. You can't tell me if he was coaching Mount Union, this would be his run-to-pass ratio. Like, there is something going on here where he is throwing this ball so much more than I think he wants to as a natural, like, you know, football guy, play caller, those type of things. Like, I don't believe Nick Sirianni thinks this is how the offense should look. I think there's a lot of different things going on that are causing it to look this
way. Well, and I think that's why tomorrow is so important for him in particular. It's important for the team. It's important across the board. But for him in particular, as we've talked about, having this little mini bye, having a time to really, for the first time all season, you know, it's your first time head coaching, to step back for a second and say, all right, whoa, let me look at this. Like, if you can't in that moment step back and see how necessary it is to start running the ball more, then it's like red flag city, if you know what
well,
I mean.
Well, curious, do you agree with me that if he was, you know, take him out of the Eagles situation or put him in,
know.
Whatever.
I don't know. I mean, how could we possibly know? Like, I can infer, but like,
yeah, well, I'm
all
just
we
guessing
know is
too.
That he's done six games and he hasn't run the ball. So I don't know.
Yep.
I really don't know. It might just be he gets in a game and they get down a little bit and he panics and he thinks they have to throw the ball. Like, I don't know. So
yeah.
That's why this one is so important. Let's go to Berwyn and talk to Mike. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's going on, man?
Listen, I can't agree with you more, Elliot, with, you know, what good are these draft picks if we got Howie picking them?
You might agree with James on that. I mean, I don't think.
But you had said with Andy that, you know, you would rather have get into the playoffs, and I agree
I would much rather
get into the playoffs, even if it is one round. Because let me tell you, you know, what are we going to do? Pick JJ Whiteside again? or Rager?
Mike, I get that point, but you can't look at it that way. Like,
yeah.
You can't say, like, I don't want draft picks or good draft picks because we suck at drafting. Like, then don't even have a football team. Like, I don't think that's the way I look at it. Look, I like how he picked the 10. I think Howie got a good guy. I think Devontae Smith is going to be awesome. So, like, I don't know. Like, I think we go way. I am the as much of a Howie detractor as there is out there, as anyone who listens to this show knows. I hate this. Like, this is a stupid thing to say. We shouldn't want high draft picks. That's Howie's making the picks. Like, that's a dumb thing to say.
Well, but to his point, I think. Go ahead.
I wouldn't go as far as saying I don't want high draft picks. All I'm saying is I would rather make it to the playoffs.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be as concerned about getting, you know, top 10 draft pick is all I'm saying.
He actually does better with the
mid-range draft picks than he does the higher draft picks.
Yeah, but I don't think you need to pull Howie's draft record into this argument. Like, I think you're correct in what you're saying is the value of making the playoffs is worth drafting, you know, 6-7 spots later. Like, Howie's draft record aside has really nothing to do with it. But the fact is, like, the whole season, and James, you've said this, the whole season is, it's not about the playoffs. It's about figuring out if Sirianni and Hurts are the answer. But the answer will be if they can win 8-9 games, like, then you feel a lot better about that duo than you do if, you know, I know you don't want this specifically, James, but, you know, to people that want a top five pick, like, if they're picking in the top five, then you're going into next season with major question marks at the two most important positions in the football operations, right, outside of our general manager. Like, so the value of making it is value there. It's not like you're just backing up six spots for nothing. Like, you're getting a lot and moving back.
I just think I don't think our talent's as bad as our record is. And
Agreed.
I think a lot of it is play calling.
Well, and I'm
you have to get your playmakers involved more.
I agree. I think the coaching has been a problem, as we've talked about. But I think that, again, to the roster, I think the roster is okay. I think it's more bad than good. I just, again, get back to the point of, like, and why I value these super high picks so much is they need blue chip players. You need difference makers on this team. And right now you just don't have a lot of them who are young guys. You could say that's going to be a difference maker for me for the next decade. Like, I need those guys.
Yeah. They definitely need better young talent. I 100% agree with you. But if they end up having a young quarterback that takes them to the playoffs, even if it is – and the other thing I'll say is people say, like, oh, if you back into the playoffs at eight or nine wins or whatever – there's value in that. Like, teams would kill to back into the playoffs. So I don't think getting in, if they get in, however they qualify, should be diminished. Like, getting into the playoffs is an accomplishment, especially when there's other teams.
But you could also look at it as, like, does it, you know, obfuscate what's really happening? Does it make you feel better about Jalen Hurts than you should? Does it make you feel better about Nick Sirianni than you should? You know what I mean? Like, that maybe they give more time to these guys than they should. And I'm not saying that's where I'm at or whatever. We need to see how the season plays out. But, like, there's definitely a world where at the end of the season, I could see myself saying, I don't believe in Hurts or Sirianni. You know what I mean? And obviously, if they win games to get to the playoffs, maybe it happens in a way where you feel better. But if it's what we've seen so far, if they win games like the Carolina game, like, I'm not going to feel better about it, even though they won those games, you know?
Well, and the interesting thing is, and this is against my argument, but I think it's important to put out when we're discussing this, is we did see this in 2019. Like, Carson led the team to the playoffs of the final four games. I thought at the time that it was very valuable for him to get playoff experience.
And
he got hurt. Yeah, right. Well, but not just that. There was no momentum. I mean, from 2019 to 2020,
right,
granted,
yeah.
2020 was a weird year, but, you know, he took that run at the end of the season into the playoffs and turned it into the worst season of his career. So I could be wrong that it's worth it. I would just rather see – I think it's better for the franchise if they win. Like, bottom line, winning is better than losing. It sounds silly, but I just what I believe. Like, that. I don't think there's value in tanking in the NFL.
All right, so – and I don't think tanking is the right way to put it, but I know what you're saying. To Ja'Cory's question, because it wraps into this kind of perfectly, the idea of with the trade deadline coming up, and look, maybe it's if they lose the next two games that changes your perspective or this or that or whatever, but sitting here right now as we are heading into the game tomorrow, what do you think the Eagles' approach should be at the trade deadline? Ja'Cory was saying, look to trade guys who are expensive and older, and I'm sure there are a lot of Eagles fans who feel that way, and then I'm sure there's a large portion of Eagles fans who say, no, don't do that. You have a chance to compete this year. Where are you at with the trade deadline and the potential moves we might see?
Well, the interesting thing is, and I don't want to get into a salary cap discussion, but I think it's important and hasn't been brought up when debating what they should do. Like, it's tough for them to make trades that are seller trades. Because, like, Fletcher Cox, if they trade him, they get $8 million in dead money and they save $1 million. So, like, there's not really cap relief there. Lane Johnson, they just redid his deal. Like, trading him is almost impossible. Now, I will say the cap is intricate. They could find their ways around it. But when you look at the veterans that you would say, okay, maybe you trade him, there's just not a lot of cap relief there. And you're also not really getting a lot back. Like, I don't know what you get for Fletcher Cox at the midway point of the season. I mean, maybe a third or a fourth. Like, he's better than that. But just when you look at the reality of trying to trade him. So the one player I would look at, and I would not trade him, but I think the one player, if you're going to be like a quote unquote seller, is Miles Sanders. Like, Miles Sanders are not using him.
Yep.
He's not getting the ball.
They're
he's essentially in a contract year. What?
They're not going to pay him. I mean, or at least they're not going to.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not going to pay him. So you're talking about essentially running out the clock with him for one more year. So, you know, yeah, it makes more sense to trade guys like Lane. Like, Darius Slay is an awesome player. Teams could use him. You can make the argument the Eagles don't need a number one corner if they're going to be tanking. But he's just tough to trade because of his contract, and they redid these deals. So I think Miles is the one where you could get something of value back where you're actually adding to your future draft stock in a meaningful way and also giving up something where, you know, contractually and financially it makes sense as well.
And ultimately, quickly, you do not think they will, like, sell, right? You think they're going to kind of roll with what they got?
No.
Yeah, that's what I feel.
Yeah, well, I just don't think they can. Like,
right.
I think
there's
it'd be
not
tough.
Going to be something that makes enough sense. I get it.
All exactly,
right. 215-592-9494. We got one more segment to go. Get in now. 215-592-9494. Oklahoma State and Iowa State coming up at 3 o'clock. So us until then. It's Elliot. It's James. And let me tell you one more time that the Bark Sportsbook is the official sportsbook partner of the Real Philly Fan. College and pro football, baseball, playoffs, hockey, MMA, soccer, and basketball. Bet with the best. The Park Sportsbook app, live in-game betting, lets you bet while you watch. It is a wild ride, and you can get great opportunities to make some money with these wild swings and odds. The only sportsbook app backed by the number one casino in the whole state of Pennsylvania. You can bet the money line as it changes during the game on the Park Sportsbook app. You can also bet on individual player performances as they happen in basketball. Bet player points, rebounds, assists in baseball, hits, home runs, pitcher strikeouts, inning by inning in football, passing and rushing yards, touchdown scores, and so much more. Plus, you could do same game parlays, props, teasers, and over-unders. And more than anything, like I always say, you're watching these games anyway. You're going to be invested in it. Why not be a little more invested in it? Way more invested in it because you got something riding on it. It just makes it more fun to watch. And here's the deal. New customers sign up right now and get your first bet risk-free up to $500. Your first bet risk-free up to $500. Download the app or click parkscasino.com/PA and use our promo code GOBIRDS. That's GOBIRDS to get your risk-free bet. Your risk-free bet is refunded in site credit. The website has all the details. Go Birds Radio, presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Elliot Shore, Parks, James Seltzer. Final segment for us. Some college football action coming up next. Keep it locked here on WIP. Elliot, what you got going on tonight in Vegas? You do anything fun tonight?
Well, so I was about to ask you. So I have a critical decision to make.
Ooh.
I could go see one of two artists in concert, okay, right? I'm out here in Vegas. I should go see a show. I've never been out here. It's something I should do.
Sure.
Who do I go see? Lady Gaga or Nelly?
Question is that?
What do you think? I mean, Nelly, I like his music better. But I feel like Lady Gaga is like a Vegas show.
Yeah, I feel like my gut instinct was Lady Gaga. That was my gut instinct was it'll be more fun to say you went to see a Lady Gaga concert in Vegas than to say you saw Nelly. I mean, it
feels more on brand.
I didn't even know Nelly was still touring. I'll tell you that. No, I like Nelly. Nelly's good.
Yeah, no, I love Nelly.
It is a little hot in the studio. You could say it's getting hot in here. I don't know. You could. I don't know.
You're such a dad. I love it so much.
Yeah, I'm a 40-year-old dad. That was about as dad as it gets. I think I would say Lady Gaga. That would be my suggestion. But either way, I think that sounds like a fun activity tonight, Elliot.
Well, I think the real answer is whichever one Kristen says.
Yeah, that you should have just left with that.
So that's the answer.
Yeah, yeah. All right. 215-592-9494. Our prediction for the game coming up in just a couple minutes. First, let's go to Rhode Island and talk to Leonard. Hey, Len.
What's going on, guys?
How you
doing, What's going
pal?
On, man?
Not too much. You guys touched on this a little bit before the break, but one of my bigger concerns about this year is the fact that I don't think Miles Sanders is going to be on the team by the end of the year or before the deadline. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, right now, he is last in the league in rushing attempts, but he's got 4.7 yards per carry. And when they pan to him on the sidelines in clear situations where he should be used, he looks terribly upset. I just, you know, I don't think it's a good idea for him to not be on the football team. I mean, I don't know.
I don't blame him for being upset, by the way. Like, if I were him, I would be upset, too. Like, you need to, like, as Elliot has said many times, like, Miles Sanders' money is directly tied to the amount of times he freaking touches the ball.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think it's sometimes, like, people say, oh, it's, you know, it would be selfish of him to feel that way. And I get the chance to do the Players Lounge with Miles every Monday, and I genuinely get the feeling he is happy for Kenny Gainwell. But, like, let's be real. I mean, Miles is looking to get a life-changing contract. Like, it's not selfish of him to want the ball so he can help the team, but also so he can get paid. Like, this is his occupation. This is his livelihood. If he gets a big deal, that changes his entire life. So he won't say it, and I believe he is happy for the team, but I do not blame him at all if, to your point, he is frustrated about the amount of carries he's getting.
So do you think that they just don't value the position then? Because why would you not want a guy like Miles Sanders on your football team? I mean, we've seen little to no screenplays this year. We've barely seen him in key situations, and the play calling is not helping him out at all. And I just don't see how you would be looking to trade somebody if you're you know, how are you going to trade him if you're not going to use him?
We don't know that they are looking to trade. That was more Elliot theorizing who might make sense for a trade because of the situation we're talking about. I don't think they're going to trade Miles Sanders, but I also don't think they're going to sign him to a long-term contract after the season either. So I think ultimately Miles Sanders will not be an Eagle at a certain point.
Yeah,
well, but the interesting thing, too, is – sorry, real quick. The interesting thing, too, is if he doesn't get the ball and doesn't touch it a lot, like, he's not going to get paid. So, yes.
Possible, too. But
you know,
the other
so he
way
might
where
pick
people,
a one-year deal somewhere else.
But people look at him and say, oh, you don't have a lot of tread on your tires. It could go –
true.
You know, you never know.
But I came into this season, you know, considering the circumstances and what we were looking at, that this was going to be a breakout year for Miles Sanders. Regardless of if you know, we really did much this year, we were going to at least see Miles Sanders be explosive in the running game, be a huge part of the pass game, try to take some pressure off of Jalen Hurts, and we just haven't seen it.
No.
And I just think a lot of it is because of just terrible play calling, and you can attribute that to seeing things like, you know, garbage time passes over the middle of the Dallas Goedert, which they should be utilizing all game. And it feels like this football team can't win a game unless you see them hit a big play down the field to Quez Watkins. If that doesn't happen, it just feels like, well, where's the chances of us winning a football game?
Good call, Leonard. Yeah, I don't think there's a single Eagles fan or Eagles reporter or anyone out there who doesn't think that Miles Sanders should be a bigger part of the game plan every week. Like, it's just...
Yeah, and, you know, a caller made this point just real quick. I just refuse to believe that Sirianni sits in his office and goes like, oh yeah, everything's fine with the running game. Like, but the question is, why is it not changing, right? But I do believe, like, I don't think he listens to the radio, and I'm sure he listens to WIP all the time, and I don't think he disagrees with what he's hearing. Like, I think he knows they should be running the ball more. It's just something is happening. It's getting, like, lost in translation from, like, the play calling to being on the field to the game planning, because I just refuse to believe that he himself does not want to run the ball more.
I mean, unless he starts doing it, we might have to start believing. Let's squeeze one more call in here. Let's go to Orlando and talk to Scott. Hey, Scott.
Hey, fellas. You know, the game the other night, that guy, you know, here you got a third string with Cleveland, a third string running back, and he made that game.
Yep.
And the only thing I can say about our runner is that he doesn't seem – he runs into that center and just gets clogged up there. He doesn't seem to bounce out. He gets those open shots. And then one other thing that I think would really endear the Philadelphia fans is give Mailata the ball down at the
that's not going to happen.
Well, he's running the ball. He played rugby.
Yeah, I mean, come on, though, Scott. Scott, all right, great call, buddy. But I think we're making a moratorium now. No one is allowed to mention Jordan Mailata running the ball anymore. It is over. On this show, we will not allow it. You will get cut off the air if you make a comment about Jordan Mailata running the ball. We're past that. He's the future franchise left tackle. Like, enough of this. Go ahead.
Well, and also, they wouldn't even give Miles Sanders a ball.
Exactly. Like,
if they're running it 30 times a game, then maybe, yeah, who knows? You know, but they clearly, if they're not going to give Miles Sanders the ball, I think it's safe to say they're not going to be giving it to Jordan Mailata.
Enough. All right, Elliot, as we've talked about, like, if this team is going to do anything with this season, tomorrow's a game they have to win. What is your prediction for this Eagles-Raiders game tomorrow?
I think they win. I think in general, they're going to beat teams that have bad offensive lines and quarterbacks that aren't like the elite of the elite. Now, Derek Carr, big game for him tomorrow, just in the, you know, my personal record book of seeing where I would rank him, because I'm not really sure, but I don't think he's like top eight, top seven type guy. I think he will turn the ball over. I think the offensive line of the Raiders is there to be taken advantage of. And we've all seen this over the years. When the Eagles beat the offensive line and get that after the passer, they win the game. So I do think they win it. I think the offense has a better day. I think they win it 27-17.
Yeah, I can't predict them to win it. I think they lose. But I think it's a closer game than you do. I think it's a three-point game one way or the other. And I think something you said earlier this show that you brought up, the idea of something that I think is the single biggest reason I'm not sure they're not going to win tomorrow, because I think the Raiders are a better football team top to bottom. But I do think what happened last week with them going out and fighting for that guy, that Rich Bisaccia, and fighting for the special teams coach and fighting for Gruden being gone and taking their team back and all that, like, I think that there is going to be a natural letdown after that, as your stat about interim coaches pointed out. So I think there's a real chance that they don't get the Raiders' best tomorrow. And I think if that happens and they can jump on it and seize it, I think they have a chance. So I definitely think they have a chance to win. I haven't seen enough from them to say they're going to go into Las Vegas and win. All right. Thank you to everyone who called in. We literally could not do this show without you. Thank you to Dan Wilson, Mind the Glass. Thank you, Elliot, for taking time out of his Vegas trip to talk to us. That was fun, buddy.
Happy to do it.
All right. Again, we'll be back next week. Coming up next, a little college football action. So keep it here. It's Elliot. It's James. Thanks for listening to another edition of Go Birds Radio right here on 94 WIP.